Blog Talk Radio. National Empowerment Radio presents Let's Talk with Dr. Wendy. Real issues, real talk on Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Today, welcome. Today is Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. It's a great day, beautiful day today. Thank you for joining me. I appreciate that. Appreciate you taking a step back and spending some time with me this evening so we can talk about these. Forgive me, I'm having some technical challenges here in that little delay. But I'm really happy that you're here this evening so we can discuss these two topics that I have talked with several people about, and I thought it was time to bring it to the pavement and talk about it on my show. As I noted, it's Easter Sunday, and I am actually in the state of Wisconsin. That's right. I am in Milltown tonight, here Easter Sunday, spending the Sunday afternoon with my mom. Yes, I am. Ate too much, had a great time, so now it's back to reality. So with that said, before we get started, again, I want to thank you. A lot of you have been emailing me various topics. We've had a lot of things going on in the news since we last talked, so I'd like to give you an opportunity this evening to call in. Please remember you can always text me, email me. Those things are always open. As I've mentioned several times, this is an internet radio show. For those of you that are new, I do see some people in the chat room. This is an internet radio show, and you have a couple options. You can either listen via your computer or your smartphone. The process is very simple, ladies and gentlemen. All you simply have to do is go to my website. It's blogtalkradio.com/ Let's Talk with Dr. Wendy, follow the prompts, and it will drop you straight into the show, okay? Now, remember, at any point in time you have a question, please call me. My number is 347-326-9755. So, with that said, let's get started. Now, tonight, I wanted to talk about this particular topic because I've had some interesting / disturbing conversations with some people when it came to their children and their behavior and school and labeling them and saying that something's wrong with them or that they're crazy and et cetera, et cetera. And I get it. You know, my daughter's 30. I understand that how kids are. I got that. However, the thing that was interesting for me was that talking to a couple of people, and my concern came when I had assessed that they were just a little bit too anxious to have their kids labeled in the system. Now, when I sent my message out this afternoon, I had some people actually didn't know. You know, they don't have kids, so the labeling, that's all new to them. So they're like, labeling? What is labeling? Well, it's either you assessing that they have a learning disorder or some kind of disability. And the conversations that I had with some people was a bit alarming because it had seemed as if they were just, again, as I mentioned, a little bit too anxious. So before we delve into this topic, I did do some, research. And it was just interesting, and it was pretty much a running theme here. And I just want to have some articles here. You know, I always do my articles, pull my research up so we can have the appropriate data needed to have an informed and educated conversation. However, one of the articles that I read, it mentioned labeling and the disadvantages of labeling, so on and so forth. And, you know, there are advantages as well. However, it's very important that you take care of some things as well up front. Now, the first article I'd like to reference here, it's actually titled Advantages and Disadvantages. Advantages and disadvantages, excuse me, of, let's see here. Yeah, the advantages and disadvantages to labeling a student. And it's interesting here, and I'm not going to read the whole thing to you because I have some people that are texting me right now. And I do ask that you just remain a little patient because I'd like to go over this information first. Oh, and another thing here, I got somebody texting me. Yes, if you call in, ladies and gentlemen, I will simply just say the last four digits of your phone number, and then at that point in time, you'll be on the air. Example, I will say, I see on the switchboard, I have 3764 on the line. You're now live on the air. You simply ask your question, okay? All right, so back to labeling here. This particular article notes that many students struggle in school, and unless they are diagnosed with a disability, they will not receive special education services. Without a diagnosis, the teacher may incorrectly assume the student has a behavioral problem or not give the student the attention they need. Many parents are also concerned that if their child receives a diagnosis, that their child may be treated differently or be bullied because they have a label. Okay, again, a label, that's what that means. So here it notes, it continues to say that the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, this is the IDEA, is a law ensuring services to students with disabilities throughout the United States. This law was signed here, wow, 2004. I see that to be very recent because I'm just going to tell you, going back to when I was in, when I attended 24th Street School here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I remember that there were a group of students that had been labeled. And, you know, at that time, all this ADHD and all these other things that students are, a lot of them are medicated for, just wasn't talked about. It wasn't discussed. You know, a lot of students were not receiving a lot of the medication that students are receiving now, but at that time when I was in elementary school, these students were called special seat, okay? And they were all in this class. They stayed in the class all day, and they sat and did almost nothing. It was really sad, and I say that because, her brother was in there, and her mom would always complain about how Daryl didn't do anything and she couldn't understand, what he was spending his time on during the day. And just remembering the group of students that were in that class, it just appeared as if they just sat around and did nothing. It was just really unfortunate. However, they were labeled special seats. That is what we called them at that time. It was special seats. They had been labeled. Okay, now we're talking about students that this wasn't a situation where you had, I'm just going back remembering, they were all different ages in this classroom. It wasn't as if it was split up to third, fourth, fifth. They were just all these students just in this room. So with that said, the label followed these students their entire educational journey, and they were treated differently. They were treated differently. The more I'm thinking about it, and here it noted here in this particular article, which was published by Brooks Academy, it notes that, here earlier I noted that kids may be treated differently or bullied. Now, one of the things that I noted as I talked through this process, a couple of guys in that particular class, they were bullies. And it was one guy in particular could draw. And they were, I remember two to three of them, they were bullies. They always was fighting. And now that I think back on it, it just seems as if they were more frustrated than anything. It didn't appear, you know, I'm not a professional, I'm just going off of what I recall as being a kid. But it seemed as if looking at the students that were in that class, there were probably 15 to 20 of them that were in that class. The majority of them needed more discipline than anything from my assessment. Okay, again, you know, I'm not a psychologist, but just going back and thinking about the whole labeling process, it just appeared now that I'm thinking about it, I can confidently say I think those kids were prematurely diagnosed or diagnosed at all, or not even diagnosed at all. So, nevertheless, and that they were labeled and that followed them. So, with that said, let me continue. The Individuals with Disabilities Act was signed in 2004, and this program ensures states and public agencies provide early intervention, special education, and related services to more than 6.7 million children and youth with disabilities in public schools across the nation. Let me see. Because of the IDEA Act, many students with disabilities have made significant gains in public schools. Labeling students with specific disability has led to the development of specialized teaching methods, assessment approaches, and behavioral interventions that are useful for teachers and all students. Now, my question tonight, and the reason why I wanted to talk about this, because this article is a little lengthy. The reason why I wanted to talk about this is this topic is interesting to me because in my conversation that I had a couple of weeks ago, I became concerned and wanted to bring it to the table and just ask you, do you think parents are too premature in assessing that their students or their children have a disability or should be labeled? Do you think they truly understand what it means if little Johnny is labeled in the third grade? I say that because I had this conversation with a young lady and her son, I'm going to say in the third grade, and she went as far as to say he was dumb. She used the term dumb. She's like, he's dumb. I said, what? He's dumb. And I said, wow, why would you say that? So her whole thing was that he just doesn't learn, he's this and that. So she wanted to have him labeled. And I looked and said, why would you do that? You're going off of your own personal assessment, you're calling him dumb. And my thing is, why would you want to do that? And she looked at me, I said, I don't recommend that you go to the school and label him like that until you fully have a clear understanding of what this so-called disability is. I mean, seriously. She had already put a call out to talk to the school because she wanted him to be treated and be labeled so that he could be treated differently. But she wasn't quite sure what different consisted of, which for me makes no sense. So I said, huh. So then, just by happenstance, I ended up having another conversation just out of the blue with someone else about this exact same topic. We were just talking. I honestly don't even remember how it came up. But nevertheless, she brought it up and she said how she was concerned. Her daughter was isolated, had been isolating herself, and she felt that her daughter was isolating herself because she wasn't doing well in school, and that she felt that she had some form of disability and that she was slow. That's what she called her. And I looked when she said that she was slow. I said, how do you know that she's slow? What information and data have you gathered for you to make that kind of assessment? So she's kind of looked at me. And then she looked at me, and then I said, so what do you plan on doing? And then she said, well, I'm going to go. I think I need to go and talk to the counselors and let them know that she should receive special treatment and special, she should be treated differently. So I said, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, she needs more time to get her work done. She doesn't. I've worked with her, and it appears as if it takes her longer to get things done. So I said, okay. So that makes her slow? So she kind of looked at me. So she was comparing her to her son. She said, well, my son does things differently. And I said, well, yeah, because he's, these are two different kids. They process things differently. So, yeah, they're different. So she just kind of looked at me. And she went as far as to ask me, are you a psychologist? I said, no, I'm not. I said, I'm just not a huge advocate of parents going and advocating to have their son or daughter labeled without them doing the appropriate research. So with that said, let me go here to some of the questions that I have received so we can address some of them, because it was just alarming for me. That's why I wanted to bring this to the table. So here, let me go here and take a look at some of the comments. Now, again, let me just pull everyone back in so you have a full understanding of what we're talking about. First off, we're talking about labeling kids in school. The pros and cons of labeling children is what we're talking about, in that we want to determine if parents that truly understand the impact that labeling has on their kids' educational future. Now, this one particular lady here, I'm going to was under the impression that her, this is the first one, that her son or daughter was in the third grade, blah, 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 and whatever grade they were in, and that labeling them would only impact them for that 1 year when they get back on track. And I said, look, you know, it's been a long time since I've had my daughter in school, but from what I understand, the labeling process does not work that way. It's not something that you can put on, take off, put on, take off. So I said, you just need to be careful. Now, again, I said, I don't understand the whole process, but I remember back in the day, and that was way, way, way back in the day, that it was not something that you could just attach a label to a kid and take it off when you want to. It just did not work that way. That was a label that followed them all the way through high school. So with that said, that's why that conversation was a little disturbing. So here, let me go to some of the questions that I have received. So here, oh, and then again, ladies and gentlemen, please make sure you give me your first name and the city that you are reaching out to me from. I really like to know where you are at. That helps me with my marketing and different things like that. So, okay, here this particular person did not give me their name and their city. So here they noted I'm an educator. I'm an educator and have seen particularly black boys go through the system, and they are labeled unjustly. It appears if the system gives up on our black boys too quickly and label them, and it puts them at a disadvantage going forward. I'm not an advocate of labeling unless it can be justified, but the most of the students, majority of the students here that I've seen were, from my assessment, did not have the challenges that some of the white administrators noted that they had. A lot of them needed some discipline, didn't have a father in the household, and needed a different kind of guidance, not stigma of a label. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's good information. And I'll tell you, since this particular person noted that a lot of the black boys were being labeled unjustly, I had someone earlier actually give me a call and noted that a lot of times, not the parents, but the teachers try to push labeling on the parents as well, because she had noted that a lot of times the teachers cannot handle the students, and it becomes easier for them to try to label the students so they can move on to another teacher or another situation that they don't have to deal with them. So this lady was very, very compassionate, educator for years, as a matter of fact, a retired educator, and she noted that she was very frustrated because she couldn't do anything about it. She definitely has spoken up over the years. However, she had definitely expressed her concern about the number of faculty, because they talk. Come on now, they're in the faculty lounge and they talk about different students. I mean, that happens, ladies and gentlemen. That's real. They talk about these students, and because they feel that they're not able to do anything with them, that, and when she said with them, she meant from a learning perspective, because students have obviously different learning styles, and there's just some teachers that are in the system that are in it for the wrong reasons and lack the passion and the tenacity and the fortitude that's needed to properly educate these students. And she just really went on a rant. So I want to share that with you as well. All right, let me keep it moving. Okay, here's another comment that I have from someone that noted that they're currently in the school system. Here, just bear with me. I'm skimming this. Currently in the school system. I've been in the classroom for less than 10 years and have seen a lot of students that have been incorrectly labeled. And this person noted that they've even tried to talk to the parent to try to do something about it. However, they noted that there are some financial benefits that some parents do receive if their son or daughter is classified as disabled, et cetera, having a learning disability or things like that. And he noted that it's not just, this person, excuse me, noted that it's not just the parent that is misdiagnosing the person or the student or thinks that they are slow. It's just that you also have parents that have absolutely no clue at all of the impact that it's going to have. However, they're looking into it for more of a financial gain. Okay. So this particular person noted that, no, the parents do not have, the parents and the teachers do not have a full understanding of the adverse impact that this is going to have on the students. So let's go back to my article because I have a lot more comments. Okay. If you feel free to call in, ladies and gentlemen, anytime. My number is 347-326-9755. Feel free to call in if you're an educator, someone that has actually gone through this labeling process with your son or daughter. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, so let me go back here because, you know, I'm real big on data, looking things up. So let's go back here to some information that I have obtained here. Let's see. Some drawbacks of labeling are that a teacher may have preconceived ideas of the child's capabilities based on the label and may not teach the child to their fullest capability. This can create ineffective schooling. Another drawback is the teacher may stereotype the student and forget that each child is unique and learns in their own way. Labels often put the blame and the guilt for a student's learning problems squarely on the parent's shoulders. In many cases, this is unjustified because students may be mislabeled. Ha! We talked about that earlier. I have been out of middle school, oh my gosh, 30 plus years, 40 years. And here, this particular article noted that in many cases, this is unjust because students may be mislabeled or teachers may not fully understand the different causes of mild disabilities. Huh. And this is actually coming from education.com. So it's just, just as a parent, ladies and gentlemen, I just cannot put enough emphasis on the importance of you being involved and you going to parent-teachers conferences and you checking your and knowing your child's abilities, having a good sense of their abilities. And in order for you to do that, you have to spend some time with them in the evenings with their homework. You have to go to these meetings. And if there are things that are going on in the classroom, parents, that you're not appeased with, you need to reach out to your parents, to your daughter's, son or daughter's teacher. Now, one thing that parents have the advantage of, that my parents did not have the advantage at the time, was email. Everything's done virtually. I mean, you have some of these younger kids that are functioning with laptops, and the faculty have email, and, you know, you can, as a parent, can reach out to these faculty members at a moment's notice. So there's no excuse for you to say that I can't get in touch with him or her, and so on and so forth. It's, you just don't have any excuses, okay? So again, we talked about the drawbacks. Now, either way, labels can be both good and bad for a student. Now, with the IDEA, and again, that is the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, the only way a child can receive special services in the public school system, this is what they're noting, is if they have been diagnosed with a qualifying learning disability. If your child is struggling, it's recommended that you see a specialist and pursue a diagnosis. Many children, when they receive special services, will blossom and benefit from an individualized educational program. So with that said, parents, just one of the things that I've seen and I recall when my daughter was going to school, just having conversations with different parents along the way, is that sometimes parents jump the gun, thinking that their child is, and I'm going to say dumb. I definitely would never call a child dumb, but you do have parents who do that, because I actually had one say that to me. So there are a lot of them that will call their son or daughter dumb to their faces, and you wonder why they're having some challenges, but that's another radio show, okay? So with that said, it is, as a parent, you really have to be mindful, and don't be so quick to determine that your son or daughter is having or has a disability because they're not shining in the classroom like the others. Something else may be going on with your son or daughter. So pump the brakes on that. Do your homework. Find out what's going on with your son or daughter, and that can really be done in many instances, by old school talking to them. Everything cannot, and I'm saying that because I actually had someone else call me earlier because he could not join the call tonight. He noted that there are just a lot of parents that rely too much on technology. That's what he said. And this gentleman, I know him personally. He noted that his disgust is that too many parents, so many of them are younger nowadays, and they rely too much on technology. They expect for technology to do everything, and it's just not realistic. He noted that he sees and has seen a lot of children suffer in the system here in the past, decade, because parents have become very lazy, and they think they can communicate and do everything electronically, and in some instances, it just really works against the student from a communication standpoint when it comes to communicating with their teacher. So I know he mentioned that and talked a while about what he had experienced and why his assessment was he's not against labeling students, because he has been in some instances where he had expressed concern about some students, and he noted that he had worked in a school in the hood, in the suburbs, and he's seen both sides, and he said it's not a black thing. He said he has seen Hispanic and white students as well that are just as troubled. It's just not publicized like it is in the black community. So with that said, he just said, I'm not going to tie race to this because I have worked in all spectrums. I'm going to simply say that parents, whether educated or not, he said, you know, before when I started as a teacher, I used to think that it was more of the minority students because the parents are not informed. He said, yes, that is the case. However, on the flip side of that, you have your educated parents that are not informed as well in regards to this because they are so busy and they're just throwing money. So he said it's just a two-way street. So it's just he wanted to make sure that people understand that it's not a black thing. So I do want to share that with you as well. So with that said, let me go back to some of the comments here, and I want to go on to my next topic here today, which I know everyone has heard about, Andrew Harrison and his racial slur. So here, let me go back to a couple more comments. I just want to, again, ladies and gentlemen, please let me know. Please give me your first name and let me know what city you are reaching out to me from. So let's see here. Again, we are talking about labeling, and do parents truly understand the impact this will have on their kids' educational future? And, you know, it's been a little mixed here. However, it appears as if the common thread is that, A, as a parent, it's vital that you do the appropriate research. And B, do not be so quick as a parent to think that your emotional assessment of your child's behavior is one that can be used to leverage the labeling. So that's a running thing that I've gotten out of this as well, just looking at some of the comments from educators that have shared their experiences over the last several years. So just a couple more comments, and then we're going to delve on to the next topic for the night. And I'll tell you, I'm sifting through here, and I'm just elated at this kind of support that the listeners are giving us, have given us over the years, and have continued to, because this feedback is great. Okay, so here, just a couple more comments here. Thing here is, this is a good one. This particular person here, didn't give me their name, noted that, let me read here, he is 21 and felt that when he was in middle school, he was definitely labeled and treated differently and bullied. Grew up in an environment where there was no man in the household, and he was more frustrated and angry than anything, and lashed out at school because of it. He said he overheard his teacher saying multiple times that he was dumb. Wow. He heard the teacher call him that he said he was dumb and that he should be in a different class because he was not able to learn like the others. When essentially he knew all along that it was more personal. He said at the time he obviously was a kid and did not understand that. But as he matured and the label did follow him, he wanted to note that, yes, he was treated differently and that parents need to be aware and not just automatically think that just because a teacher is not or cannot connect with the student, that there's something wrong with the student per se, and that it may be the teacher that's in the classroom opposed to the student needing or receiving a recommendation to be labeled. I think that's a great way to end, a great comment to end this particular topic on. All right. Okay, so let's delve straight into the next topic here. And again, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for sending me those comments. I think this was good information, and I'm hoping that it definitely gave you something to think about, especially those of you that are contemplating talking to your school about assessing your child's behavior, because in some instances, there could be something going on at home that's causing him and her to act out. So just think about it, okay? All right, next particular topic tonight that I found to be interesting is the whole racial slur from Kentucky's Andrew Harrison. Now, by now I'm sure you already heard the clip because it went viral. It was crazy. It was during a team interview with Kentucky, and they were talking about their loss and so on and so forth. And during that interview, and you know, I'll tell you, this almost happened to me. You know, you got that hot mic, and you know, you get comfortable, and you forget about the mic, and you start mumbling. And oh gosh, you gotta be careful. You have to be aware of your surroundings. And you know, when I heard that hit the airwaves, I didn't see the actual interview and hear it in Memorex, because I had people texting me saying, man, did you hear that? Did you hear that? So I actually have the clip. So let me see here. I want to play this clip. You got to listen closely, ladies and gentlemen, because you can hear it. You can hear what he says, and we'll continue to talk further. So let's see here. I know I have audio. Here we go.
Unique about defending him. Kaminsky, and what makes him so difficult to defend, and what, if anything, is unique about defending him? Kaminsky, and what makes him so difficult to defend, and what, if anything, is unique about defending him? Kaminsky, and what makes him so difficult to defend, and what, if anything, is unique about defending him? Kaminsky, and what.
Okay, that wasn't good. I don't know what happened. Huh. Okay. Wow. Well, let me see if I can. I don't know what happened with that clip, but I'm going to go back and see if I can pull it, because I'll tell you, if you haven't heard it by now, you've been living under a rock, ladies and gentlemen. It's all over YouTube. It went viral that particular day. So let me just sum it up for you. It's really simple. You have Andrew Harrison, who plays for Kentucky. The team lost, as all of you know. And he actually, you had a commentator, someone asking questions, and during asking another player a question. And here you have he's being called the bitter Kentucky player, drops the N-bomb on Wisconsin star. So here you have, while the person is commentating, asking the question, and I want to find that clip. I want to find it. Nevertheless, while the person was asking the team a question, the coach a question, no, it was a player asking the player a question, here you had Andrew on a couple players down, and he said under his breath when the person that was asking the question brought up the Wisconsin player's name, you heard him clearly. It was not something that you had to struggle to. You heard him clearly say, F that N-word. And I was like, when I heard that, I said, what? Did I hear what? And you can hear it. So I said, he said, what? Oh, my gosh, that thing went viral immediately. Again, he said, F-U-C-K that nigga. I said, oh, my gosh. When I heard that, and, you know, they're just playing it over and 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 over again. And I said, wow, that was not good. Now, I believe this guy's a sophomore, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's a sophomore. I don't think he's a junior. Don't quote me. Nevertheless, now went viral. And, you know, he's apologized and he's gone through and made a public apology. As a matter of fact, let's see here. Kentucky's Andrew Harrison was understandably upset after his team 71-64 lost to Wisconsin in the Final Four on Saturday. Unfortunately for him, he made the mistake of trying to secretly voice his frustration to teammates during a post-game press conference. If you listen closely, you'll hear him say what I said, with his hands over his mouth during a question about Wisconsin star Frank Kaminsky. So here, he said that, and here someone noted that it's important to note here that Andrew Harrison is a 20-year-old kid who just went through one of the toughest losses in his life in front of the entire nation, but it's an unfortunate decision nevertheless. Harrison appears to have understood as much and apologized later that evening, saying his comment was made in jest. So, here are some tweets that he did some tweeting. You know, that's always the way to go. If you don't do anything else, you definitely got to get out there and tweet. You got to tweet. He said, first, I want to apologize for my poor choice of words used in jest towards a player I respect and know. When I realized how this could be perceived, I immediately called Big Frank to apologize and let him know that I didn't mean any disrespect. We had a good conversation, and I wished him good luck in the championship game Monday. That's what he said. So, a Kentucky spokesman said of the incident, we have no comment until we have a chance to evaluate it. The lesson is, as always, if for some reason you just have to secretly say something during a post-game press conference, make sure it leans closer to something along the lines of, God, she's beautiful, than what Harrison said. So, bad situation here. I understand that Andrew Harrison apologized. You know, we got that. However, now there's this huge firestorm noting and requesting that he be kicked off the team. Being that if Kaminsky, who's a white player, said the same thing about Andrew Harrison, people now think that Kaminsky would have been kicked off the team. So what do you think? Well, for me, yeah, and Andrew, not a good move. I think this is a kid that is definitely green. Green and wet under the, wet behind the ears, so to speak. I definitely think there should be some form of consequence for that. But should he be kicked off the team? No. No, I don't think so. I don't think he should be kicked off the team, nor would I think that Kaminsky should be kicked off the team if the shoe was on the other foot. Let me say that as well, because I'm sure someone is saying the same thing. Oh, she only saying that because the player is black, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm not. However, I will say there should be some form of consequence for Andrew Harrison. It definitely showed, whether he apologized or not, overall, it just showed poor sportsmanship, sore loser, blah, blah, blah. It just was not. See, that's the thing that is interesting in many instances, that people do not understand that imagery is important. And it doesn't matter if you're a 20-year-old NCAA participant. It doesn't matter, because people are watching and they're listening to every move that you make. And you have to be on stage, on guard at all times, because they're looking for things like this to happen. So it's definitely a lesson learned for him, period. That's the way it should be, in my opinion. What do you think? All right, so let's see. Yeah, I'm on a tangent tonight. I had a cup of coffee about 2 hours ago, so it's kicking in. All right, so let me take a look at some of these comments here. I also want to take a look at just some of the other comments here. You know, Andrew's being called a sore loser, and there's some other thing here, just a CNN. 3 hours ago, notes that he apologized. I thought I saw something about a game being, drops the N-word, apologizes for explicit N-word, blah, 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 blah. That's all you see. So let me see. Racial slur. Let me see. Is there another update? Because let's see. Kaminsky on racial slur. He's pretty much over it. He's like, I'm over it. I'm not tripping on it. So on and so forth. Let's see. Wisconsin forward Frank Kaminsky brushed off an obscenity and a racial slur made by Kentucky Wildcats guard Andrew Harrison after the Badgers won Saturday night to advance to the national championship game. We all heard what he said online. He reached out to me. We talked about it. I'm over it. Kaminsky told reporters Saturday, nothing needs to be made out of it. Huh. Kaminsky had 20 points and 11 rebounds to help Wisconsin to a 71-64 victory to end the Wildcats' quest for a perfect season at 38-1. Okay, and I told you that, you know, Harrison did all the tweeting. So here, let me go and take a look at some of the comments that I received from some of you. Let's see. Let's see here. Got someone. And again, ladies and gentlemen, please remember to give me your first name and the city. Okay, let's see here. This particular comment. Ooh, I got a lot of comments for this one. Here, this comment's from Tom. Tom did not give me the city. Tom notes here that I think Andrew should be kicked off the team. It was poor sportsmanship. And if the shoe was on the other foot, they would kick the white player off just based on it being the N-word, and that is a very negative word, and it's a word that should not be accepted in our society. I'm just skimming what he's saying. So I'm very disappointed in the player, and I think he should be removed from the team because a message has to be sent to the other players. He said he notes here that he heard earlier that that when the N-word is said with an A at the end instead of E-R, it's more of a term of endearment, and he does not agree. Okay, he ended it with that. So here you have one person that thinks that Andrew should be kicked off the team. Here, taking a look at another comment, this person did not give me their name or their city, but they know here that this is a 20-year-old kid that does not know what he's doing. It was a stupid move. There should be some kind of reprimand, but it was just a stupid move. and he needs to understand and be educated on what sportsmanship is, and he needs to take some he knows here that the player should be forced to go through some form of sensitivity training as well. He said it's unacceptable to let players speak in this manner, because if there's no form of consequence, it will deliver the wrong message to younger up-and-coming players that think that it is acceptable. Okay. All right, a couple more comments here before we close out for the evening. I'm looking here, and I'm literally just looking at the split here, just looking at the feedback that I've gotten thus far. It's like 70-30, honestly. It's interesting. 70% think that there should be some form of reprimand. 30% think that he should be kicked off the team. Those are the numbers. Those are the numbers. I just wanted to see what was out there, because I know I've been hearing it all day. Got a couple of calls from people that said, hey, why don't you talk about this Andrew Harrison story, because it went viral, and you can hear him saying that. So I just wanted to get a temperature check. I think at the end of the day, it's important for us to understand whether we are a 20-year-old green student or athlete, or we are a 50-year-old individual that has something negative to say about somebody. You just have to be very mindful of what you say and what you think and what you do, because people are always listening, they're always watching, and it just isn't the right thing to do. As an athlete, it's important that you are mindful that there's always a W and there's always an L in the slot, and you're not always going to win. If you're on a winning streak, as Kentucky was, if you don't win, the last thing you want to do is let the others see that you, just because your team lost, and look, I'm not taking it lightly. I know, I believe one of the articles that I read noted that was one of the biggest losses that he'll have in his life, so on and so forth. Don't quote me on that, but it said something like that. Yeah, I know. I get it. It's a big loss. But, dude, let's have some composure. You know, be mindful. You're on stage at all times, and that's what people have to remember. If you're on stage, you're in the spotlight like that, got to have the right frame of mind. Okay? I had to give my commentary because when I heard it, I was appalled, and I, too, believe that there should be some form of consequence. But I don't think the kids should be kicked off the team. All right. Well, that's my show for this evening. Before we close out, I want those of you to remember that you always have the opportunity to market your business or your events on my show as well. I can also add your information to my email list that I send out. Right now, I'm sure. Well, can't say that I'm sure because you may not know. Everyone may not know. Right now, I have over 100,000 listeners. So people are listening. People are plugging in. People are going in after the show. Remember, this show is a podcast, so they're going in after the show and they are listening. That is considered a hit, okay? They are listening to the show. So if you have a business or an event you want to get the word out, email me. Give me the information and we can work out a deal, okay? All right, with that said, right now, I have, just got a couple more minutes here. I have a couple things, just one in particular. I just want to share this event. It's not even an event. It's a new club that's opened up in the Bloomington area in Minnesota. Those of you that are in Minnesota, I want you, especially if you're there on a Friday night, you have to check out the Boulevard. Ladies and gentlemen, the Boulevard is the new 30-plus R&B social club. You got to check out the Boulevard, okay? For those of you that have received my email announcement, there is a link there to Facebook. Go and join the page. Go out there so you can see some of the events that have already happened at the Boulevard. It's a new spot. If you have a birthday coming up, please call 612-237-5118. Why? Because I want you to celebrate your birthday at the Boulevard, all right? So, again, if you have more information, you need more information about the Boulevard, 612-237-5118. 8. Yes, I know. I have you asking me. Here, I got a couple of people texting me right now. Okay, you're giving us the information. You're telling us everything about the boulevard. But one thing you're missing, and what is that? The address. Okay, it's 1114 West American Boulevard, and that's Bloomington, Minnesota. Again, it's called the Boulevard. Friday nights, okay? I know that you definitely need something to do. If you are in Bloomington, Minnesota, I know you need something to do on a Friday night because there's virtually nothing to do on a Friday night in Bloomington, Minnesota, except for you to go to the Boulevard, all right? Okay, with that said, I'm going to close out tonight with a single of mine, a single from a friend of mine. I want you to also go out and support his new CD. It's called Big Boy. And it's everywhere, you know. Go to CD Baby. All you do is pull it up. It comes up. It's just out there. You need to go and listen to it. Support this talented artist. You know, we have to support our indie artists. That's the only way they come up is to support our indie artists. So with that said, I'm going to close out tonight. Oh, you know, another thing. Forgot. I want to thank everyone that attended our our Minnesota Steppers Bash that we had at the Radisson Blue and our Women's Appreciation Banquet. Ooh, those events were just awesome. That Radisson Blue Hotel in the Mall of America, man, that was just a very, very nice upscale event. The hotel is beautiful. Those that attended had access to the mall without going outside. We had bull riding. It was just a lot. The Women's Appreciation Banquet. We honored several women in the music industry. And our goal was to educate and raise funds for educating individuals in the community about HIV and AIDS. It was just really, really, really a nice event. So I just want to thank all those of you that came out from other cities, that flew in, that took your time and invested in that event. It was really, really, really a nice weekend. So thank you. Okay? Look forward to seeing many of you and those of you that did not get an opportunity to attend. 2016 will be another big year. We're looking at hosting the event again in the Mall of America because that is just the premier spot to have, premier venue, hotel to have that kind of event. So with that said, thank you. Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to close out tonight here. Good conversation. I know there are some of you, I'm getting these messages again. There are some of you that I was not able to read your comments, but that's okay. I'll be on next week. And I'm going to tell you up front right now, I'm going to have an author, Osceola Thomas. He's going to be on the show. A friend of mine, good friend of mine, Osceola. He has written two books, and we are going to talk about a topic that I think is very important. And the title of his book is The Streets Can't Have My Son. And I want to talk about that, and I think it was just appropriate because I did some research. Well, I have people that send me articles all the time. So in this particular instance, someone sent me this information, and it talked about a school. I believe it was in Detroit. Let me look it up here really quick. I believe it was a school in Detroit. Yeah, here it is right here. There's a boy, no, in Ohio, a boys' school in Ohio with a 0% dropout rate. So when I saw that, I said, let me post this information out here so they can see that Black Lives Matter and Black Boys Rock and people need to invest in our Black boys and we need to be proud of our Black boys. So with that said, going in that direction, I thought it was perfect to have Osceola on the show to talk about, and I didn't even know he had two books. I know I was aware of one, but when I saw The Streets Can't Have My Son, I thought that that was just appropriate. So with that said, Osceola Thomas will be on the show next week so we can talk about his book and what inspired him to prepare this book, and I think it's going to be information that's going to help the community. In that, you know that that's our overall objective in having this show is to educate the community about things in many instances that a lot of times you really don't think about or you think about it, but need some more dialogue around it. That's why we're here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you know I can talk all night. So let me close out here, like I mentioned, with a single from a good friend of mine. I told you earlier, the title of his CD is Big Boy. Boy is with two Y's, okay? Go out there and you'll find it. Again, I'm going to close. This is my favorite cut. I've had people say to me, Wendy, can you please let us hear other singles? Don't do it next week. But this week, I'm going to play Also Blessed again because I like the song. So with that said, I'm going to close out with Also Blessed. This is from a this is a single from a friend of mine, Jay Most. And the title of his CD is Big Boy. Have a good week, ladies and gentlemen. It's still Easter. Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Day. And please have a good week. And tune in next week. Good night.
Me, you cook for me. This makes me feel happiness.
So happy,
keep praying for me, just pray for me, cause this makes me feel oh so blessed. It's a beautiful day, baby, when we wake up to the sunshine.